Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the expansive world of cis society, where we courageously embrace taboos around sexuality, intimacy, and sensuality and dive into the shadow. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Continue to join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows, uniting us with this, with it all and bringing us into the light. And welcome to today's episode, where we continue to explore money. And particularly today, we merge a fusion of ancient wisdom and modern finance. And to usher us into this divine union is our very special guest, the Golden Yogi. Yogi has been blending the art of yoga with the world of digital investment since 2017. And as a full-time crypto investor, he uses principles like patience, balance, and detachment to navigate the volatility of digital assets. Join us as we dive into his unique approach, where intuition meets research and spiritual wisdom guides our financial growth. Welcome, Yogi.
Thank
Excited to have
you.
you here. You're
Exciting to
welcome.
be here.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you, truly. When this topic came up, you came into my field, and I'm just so grateful that we made it happen. And my being's feeling super curious about some things. I have a list of pretty juicy questions that I'd love to just jump into if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Yeah, he is. Okay. The first one is around detachment and wealth. In yoga, we're taught the importance of detachment, right? Letting go of concepts, ideas, notions, anything that we might feel a grip to. And I want to know how you reconcile this with the need to actively manage money and investments when we live in a material world.
Great question.
Yeah.
It's something in my journey, it really penetrates deeply to the core of beliefs that often we forget that how attached they are from, because often if we've been in this matrix reality of layer of layer of layer of and different memories in which money was held some sort of importance. I know for myself, it was often more from we don't have enough to do that. From either parent being in a split household and maybe one blaming the other, like if they were doing this better, then it would be different. And so like these little imprints that it happened, and only through constant work do those shadows kind of come to light, through diving deeper into such management. But ultimately, one of the greatest pieces of wisdom that I feel I carry is to know that money is not the thing that I'm actually going for, that my soul doesn't give a damn about money. But if it's part of a game, my soul likes to play, so I came here to play this game, many games. And if it's a labyrinth and at times you get lost in one part of the maze, well, you figure it out, and coming to terms with how does that feel in the body? How does that come across in conversations about those topics? How does, it invade, potential relationships, things like that? It's all an interesting endeavor. And yeah, ultimately the path is I want to feel good as much of the time. And so I do a lot of this programming of myself that, I convince myself that I feel good most of the time. Because I feel like that belief hack is at least the feedback loop that gets further back into my psyche, that when something like, oh, a plan, like, okay, I chose to buy at this price and sell at this price. Oh no, but now it just went way below the price that I even bought it at or something, and you're looking at a loss. Do you cut the loss or do you buy more? Do you go deeper down the hole? And you do you sit with your conviction, and do you follow your plan that you set up for yourself when doing your initial investigation, when like this is a path of investing and letting go of the what ifs, to know that all right, I did come up with a plan. And this is how I was going to manage the risk. And yeah, allowing even on the other side, so that it doesn't get too heavy, is to know that to have multiple pathways that can come to fruition. So like many seeds being planted, not all of them will turn into trees. It's a bit of a tangent there, but hopefully.
No, it's a great tangent. I mean, you initially spoke into this life being a game. And if it is a game, then money is a piece of that game. And I feel like what's coming through is I want to dive into a little bit more of that. Like, what is money in this game to you? And how do we, as you spoke into with these kind of narratives and fears and stories around money, navigate it, work with it, play with it, like dance with it. What is that? How has that process taken shape for you? And what's it about?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I feel so there's the for me, and then there's also like me observing. And I feel pretty strongly in this observation that many souls, and this comes even more directly. I'll give credit to a channel I worked with for some time, and that talked about from the non-physical perspective, like the soul just knows everything's perfect all the time. And this reality is sort of built in a way that it's like the opportunity to go on a really scary roller coaster. And because it knows that it can get out, it's going to end. But then, like, realizing, wow, the Maya gets real once you're in it. And like, that's the idea, is it's like a feeling reality, and that many, the most, choose two major themes: lack or unworthiness. Like those are like almost like the two most popular rides at Disneyland, you know, and the lines are like, they're really long. You gotta wait in a queue to get into it. And so the lack side, you know, we see in the idea of poverty and the idea of scarcity. But at the same time, often you see, you know, like, you know, we spend a lot of time in Mexico. You see a lot of people that don't have, but like their family units, they're still playing, you know? And then on the flip side, you know, there can definitely be hardships, because based on their belief systems, like, oh no, we need to have, you know, at different moments in time. And then on the flip side, there's often those who have, but like that having is still not enough to feel a sense of well-being within themselves, that they can keep chasing, and they might be, you know, and you can you maybe you've seen these observations as well, and some who are like, they're just almost great at everything they go after, but yet that amount of praise from externalities or whatever is still not enough to like give them that sense of satisfaction within themselves. And to where like, it's to me, it's that internal self-talk, like, you know, finding that worthiness within to become the unfuckwithable, and for lack of a better term. And trying to recall, okay, this is just sort of a, like an elaboration on that, right? So, maybe prompt me back into where we were going. I want to make sure that
I mean, you're dancing beautifully with the question, but I was curious just if life is a game and money's a part of that game, how do we play? You know,
Okay.
how have you
Yeah. Yeah.
learned
Yeah.
to
Thank you.
play? What has worked for you? What hasn't worked for you? You know, what is that chess piece to you, and what do we do with it?
Right. So I lean into many different tools, and I encourage everybody. It's like the path. That's where the yoga comes in, is like having known enough of inner work and myself, and then taking other clues from, say, a Human Design, for instance. That one has given me a lot of insight personally on how I proceed with these things, because with like I have an alpha channel and a money channel. So those activated together are like when you step into leadership for the creation of creating for creating value, that's when it comes back. So if I stay in my own little pocket trying to create abundance just for myself, it usually I keep seeing more dead ends. But when I'm including and I'm finding some way not to be like, I am the absolute leader and you must listen to me in this, like, you know, overly confident or maybe fake confident, like egotistical way, but instead, like creating a crypto club, going, hey guys, I'm here to talk. And though I just know in my energy, the more I'm given an opportunity to talk, the channel flows and things start to connect, because in my design as well, I'm 5'1" profile. So I do research almost to an impediment, where, like, you know, my partner, she doesn't understand it at all. Like, wow, you just like really, like, it's like almost like overthinking these things, but it's just my nature. And so because I've now scanned all around, it's like I have like a feeling of all the information's around and how I regurgitate it in sometimes like these pure moments, especially when I'm in a group setting, because another aspect of my design is that I'm a quad right, meaning that I suck in the energy from all of those around in a moment, and I am like become that like group channel for it. And sometimes when it's happening, I'm like, I'm receiving the messages too, like, oh wow, oh wow. Even though it has to do with a lot of the information that I actively searched or hunted for over whatever amount of time, how it's reassembled is like even takes me for a ride. And I usually don't have those moments if I'm just sitting by myself. It's like it takes that dynamic of the group being assembled and them pulling it out of me.
Wow. Yeah, so when you're in public, it's just like a battery charge, right? Like you're plugged in and you're connected to the totality of information that's kind of circulating in a group. And that's freaking fascinating. That's so
Yeah, I mean,
fascinating. And what I'm hearing you say is that you're in an intimate relationship with money, right? And for you, the way that your human design has kind of shaped that meeting of that relationship is understanding it from every possible angle, getting curious about it, asking it questions, getting to know it, and really deepening in vulnerability with that energy.
right. And to be so that's more of an explanation of how I relate to it all. Because it's a relation of value. Like I remember my first Burning Man getting there. Where's a place where money doesn't, isn't really used? Up in, there's a lot used on the way there, but once you're there, and I remember like being in the line, and a friend of mine, we had hired somebody to drive us there, but they didn't have a ticket, so that they could, and not being there before, I didn't realize how they wouldn't be able to get so far up, and we had more stuff than we could carry. And I was like, oh no, like, and then I started looking up the line of in the queue of cars, and I see this one art car that looked so cool. It's like an old like fire truck with like stripper poles like lined up inside and all these things. And I'm like, I go over to the dude and I'm like, hey, we think we could hitch a ride with you over to like this address. And it was just so fluidly easy, and it hit me like, wow, like in this environment, your vibration is your currency. And I realized later, it's like, no, that's always our currency. It's just whether or not we realize it and agree upon it openly. And instead, we've used these other tools to represent our vibrational work. And they're probably not the most like accurate storage of, of this vibrational essence. So it's always interesting to me too, of like how it'll be broken down later on. And much of my engagement into crypto is kind of a bet on the breakdown of society in that manner. Is okay, like I trust that there will be a demand for change over time as new energies march in through cyclical patterns, whether it's Age of Aquarius, we've been barely coming out of Pisces after some 2,000 years. And I was trained in Kundalini yoga. I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, the Kundalini yoga ashram for over 10 years, with my ex-wife, and raised my children in their young age, like all around the ashram, where there was just like daily group meditation. So I really was able to tap in and dive into a lot of those principles, and understand many of the teachings from that particular lineage of everything was built for this time frame, and it has a Sikh component to it. And Guru Nanak was like basically this Aquarian teacher, like way ahead of his time, like almost 500 years before, going, there's going to be a time where everyone's just going to understand like what you call God and you call God is just the same thing. And pretty soon we're going to see things. It'll be hard because we'll have to break down these constructs of our beliefs. One that hits me pretty good, and I tweeted it earlier, or a version of it earlier today, is there'll be a time coming up very soon, where people are going to feel so uneasy in their situation and with things changing so much, that those who feel comfortable with the change, they're going to look sane, where everyone else is feeling so like anxious and broken up that they'll reach almost into your car while you're, at a stoplight and be like, how are you so normal right now? How are you holding this shit together? And because they're like, how are they holding this vibration of peace right now? And so for that, I feel blessed, and I love seeing all the various other communities, like what you guys are doing here, what ladies are doing here with such a podcast, and bringing up such topics, because in the end, that's also the currency.
Thank you for speaking into that. Yeah, so I mean, we've been feeling as we move into this age of Aquarius that like the old systems are crumbling, they have to. Every empire lasts 80 to 100 years, like the United States is at that point. It's like things are just going to shift inevitably. Like it's a mathematical guarantee. And yeah, energy and our vibration is the frequency. I really love that you spoke into that, like at with the story at Burning Man, because over the years I've experienced a really beautiful a beautiful thread in living all around the world, and it's been be like being gifted things from people and people around me being really surprised, and they're like, wow, you always get free things, like what is that? And you know, for years I was just like, yeah, it's just my thing, like I just get free things. And I had this particular moment when I was in Berlin at a coffee shop, and I was just chatting up the barista at the coffee shop, you know, really curious about their life and what they were doing. And at the end of it, he was like, you know what, the coffee's on me. And as I walked out, the code came in, and it was like your vibration like gifted him something to the point where he wanted to give you something in return beyond the space of money and the construct of money. And it just really like it hit every cell of my being that when we live our life with an open heart and an open mind without attachment, and with this really like the innocence of the child, the innocence of this curiosity, the energy and frequency comes back to us in a variety of ways. It's inevitable. It's like, wow, you've given me something, and now I must give you something in return. It's just like this kind of beautiful dance. And yeah, Elf, I would love to hear your perspective on what we've been sharing and talking about, and what's alive for you through all of this, and your money initiations, and where you at with all of it.
Yeah, I just want to reverberate what you're sharing because I've been around Heather a lot when she's been gifted free things. I'm like, wow, this is a superpower, truly. But it really is your vibration. And I notice that when I'm in that vibration, things just magically come to me too. Things that are beyond the worth of a coffee. You know, it's like the love is more important. That feeling of being loved and being seen and someone caring about you is more, it's worth more than the $4 coffee to that person. And yeah, that's really beautiful to just reflect upon that. And to go deeper into what Yogi was sharing around the age of Aquarius and Piscean age ending and into all of that. And yeah, a lot of me feels like a lot of the systems that are at place are inevitably going to be crumbling in order to create space for new systems and upgraded ways of doing things. And a big piece of what feels really corrupted and controlled in our modern day society is money. Like, there's so much corruption around money and deception around money and distortion around money and misuse around money and poverty and lack and all these things. And so it inevitably makes sense to me. It makes way more sense to me than not that things will be changing dramatically around money. And that's kind of leading me into my next question, Yogi, is we don't want to live in a fear-based society, right? It's really easy to be like, all the banks are going to crash, everything's going to get hacked, and only those who have gold and Bitcoin are going to be able to survive, and we're going to have to just trade everything. Like, maybe some of that might happen, but I think that there's maybe a more balanced approach, a healthier way of viewing the future. And I'm curious to hear what your perspective is. Like, how do you think that this Aquarian age and the future of cryptocurrency and kind of living back in more community style arrangements where we are able to do more trades, energetic trades and skill trades, and then also with the dollar, like how do you see all of these things developing and changing throughout the next couple decades in our lifetime?
Wow, I'm really happy to talk about those things. And I'll try and hit as many threads as I can remember right now as like I was getting inspired is yeah, the age of Aquarius is the age of awareness is like Pisces was about information. And you could see like at tail end of Pisces was like how quickly information and the things that humans could do with technology was like rapidly going. And now we're like cracking into this, you know, like crypto was almost like right at the cross mix between these two ages. And now we have like the AIs. Like when I do my personal zoom out, I'm like, okay, it might be shaky at first, like how the things we move from these certain paradigms to another. Although I have way more confidence that intelligence is intelligence. And whether we call it from the human or from an artificial, like I feel like intelligence is just intelligence. And it's, you know, it's how it's used. And just like love, how it's used. Wisdom, how it's used. Knowledge, how it's used. And I see that it could create a paradigm in which there's a renaissance amongst human behavior, and where expression and that vibe becomes really like the cream rising to the top for those who, you know, and those who have learned that are going to be. There'll be different types of art. Like, I mean, you can go to any like large language model and sell it. Create me an image of, you know, this, and this. Okay. And it super fast, right? But then like when you speak to an artist and you see some of their work and you're maybe able to talk to them and like the pieces that came up, like what led them to these things. And you get a story from it, like wow, like, there's a feeling then. And because I firmly believe that this is a feeling reality, not a physical reality. Like the physicality is just like the secondary, like a secondary aspect of it all. But that'll, you know, that will lead into a renaissance. Although coming back to the sense of worthiness, I think based off of worth. What we call work ethic, many may have a hard time understanding their own personal worthiness when they don't have to do a job. You know, like not in the sense that they did before, in order to create a value that you can use to buy your rice and beans and, you know, whatever it else that you choose for your sustenance. And you know, those things will probably, you know, will shift, and it'll be interesting in how it does it. And one of the ways that has become apparent to me in this current crypto cycle, yes, there's Bitcoin. It always it's the most known crypto, but then the second is Doge. And Doge literally, you know, started as a joke. And in the last So for those listeners who don't understand, like a crypto cycles typically have 4 years because due to the what's called a halving cycle of Bitcoin, without getting technical, it just means that every 4 years less Bitcoin is being generated through the algorithm. And so it creates a supply shock that usually ends up meaning more people want it because it, you know, gets scarce. So it kind of plays into the fear side, just enough. And but Doge, when I'll bring up Elon Musk a bit because I think he's a interesting like character in the play of this whole Leela in many ways that like I really know, I mean, I don't know this person. I just observe and I see a lot of things being like a value being added. My first approach was like with electric cars. I have a degree in electronic engineering, and that was one of my first deep interests was the building of electric cars, that and synthesizers. And I either wanted to work in one of the two. And yeah, seeing how Tesla evolved into what it is, it just, to me, it seems like it's created a bunch of cool, value moving away from like fossil fuels and in older tech. But I guess what I really want to say more is how the story of a meme, the story of a joke, has bled into what is actually happening, what is like the reality now. And because if you weren't paying attention in this like last US election cycle, Elon hitched himself to the winning candidate, and part of the storyline with it was that he wanted to bring efficiency into the government and cut out things that are no longer useful. And in a way, you could say that's like pruning a tree. That's like looking at it and going, okay, like instead of waiting for it all to crash, it's like, all right, what can we remove? What, like, it's like going through your closet and going like, I don't wear these things or this or this and this. And so you lighten your load. And like I do that for myself. And what's really amusing is he called it the Department of Government Efficiency, which spells DOGE, which is Doge. And so it's like watching this meme turn into an actual government agency is leading people into a road where the youth, there's, and I've seen articles on this, is that this, the memes are the psyop to the old Matrix. They're playing a role into your definitions of how things work. We're throwing like curveballs at it all. And because I feel at that younger, those youthful stages, they're like in it, but they're like, this, no, we're just not agreeing with this. At even, I think at a subconscious level, like I feel like their souls came in to do just something completely different. And yeah, that's what I think is like they're not fully conscious of it. So it's like it's just sort of in their programming from the stage at which they entered into through their birth path. So I'm really interested in watching this play out because this is like a current development. I mean, literally yesterday, Trump wrote a letter like naming him, saying that this is going to be an official thing. Like, and wrote it twice in their Doge. Like the crypto markets couldn't have loved that more. And like Doge goes pumping even higher. I get messages from people going, wow, Yogi, thank you so much for, that conversation where you told me to get Doge. And I was thinking only Bitcoin. And so it's just it's amusing how thin the shift of reality is right now. And it's exciting. So how it moves forward is up to each and every one of us. I cannot act on behalf of others. I can just like hold my space of the believability that, hey, from the very moment my head slipped out from my mother, I have only been receiving. And when Heather, when you were talking about getting gifted, I saw it more as like, you're really good at receiving. And many stop accepting, like, oh, I have to do it for myself. So that's kind of a, it's a beautiful virtue to recognize that that hasn't really ever stopped for anybody. As hard as you may try to make things happen, there's no guarantee that that outcome that happens is what you planned for. But no matter what, you're getting something. So you're always receiving. We are always receiving. And the preparedness in for that to go, all right, cool. Well, that means I'm here for the ride. Go back to the game. And let's play. And so the playfulness, like in the Sikh scripture, the Sri Guru Granth Sahib, it always talks about crossing the world ocean. And many yogis believe that crossing the world ocean is like that is that energy of moving it from the navel point up to the heart, because that's like the greatest distance of any of the chakras. So it's like moving it from that lower triangle, like more primal animalistic natures of first, second, third, up to that heart center, to where you can get out of the projection or the worries of the past or the worries of the future and the projections that could possibly come, like, oh, what is this world going to look like? Are the banks are going to crash? Am I going to have money? Am I going to have this? What do I need to do? How am I going to be safe? That's, like Alpha say, that's kind of the cycle many will go through. And my encouragement is to like tune into the fact that we're always receiving. So I have to trust that I've made it 47 years so far. So I'll probably keep receiving until my game gets reset.
I love this distillation. And something that I just want to extract from what you shared is this idea of worthiness being tied into someone's job role and position and them making money and finding value in that position. And then looking at people like, so, right, this like unraveling that's happening. And people having less and less security, whether that's like a job or money in the bank or whatever it is. And then this kind of chaotic energy because people don't have the things that make them this, that have made them feel secure and safe. Looking to people like us who have been dabbling in these realms of throw me into the mystery. I have $10 in my bank account. Shit, what am I gonna do? And those of us who have kind of been through these initiations from feeling more at peace now that there's all this change and turmoil in our external world because we understand that no matter what goes on outside of us, my worthiness and my safety are an inside job. And that's something that I can always give myself no matter what. And I think that that's a deep initiation that most people don't put themselves through willingly. They would rather play it safe and feel secure, even if that's a false sense of security or a false sense of worthiness. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens during these times of a lot of tornadoes and cyclones, whether that's actual literal tornadoes or cyclones or like just, spiritual ones, emotional ones. That really uproot a lot of people from those false sense of security and false sense of unworthiness and force people to really evaluate what is it that makes me worthy? Is it my paycheck that makes me worthy, or is this actually an innate sense of cultivating who I am and knowing what I have to bring into the world outside of just a job role? Like, what are my gifts? What's my magic? What is it that I came here? What's my mission? What's my purpose? And I feel like all of these things are just doorways that are going to open up so much more of that for those who are ready to move into those new pathways. And for those of us who have already opened those doors and have been walking through those pathways, we get to be leaders. But like also leading is like saying, I don't know the answers. Like a true leader is like, I don't really know anything. I'm just along for the ride, just like you. And it's not that we know more, we have greater enlightenment. It's just that we're less resistant to the change and to the mystery and more comfortable being in it. And I feel like that mindset and that allowance will really serve us in these times to come, especially around money, which can be so deeply tied into our mental health, our emotional health, and our physical well-being.
Wow. Yeah, incredible. There are like two stories there that I was inspired that came up in that. I remember as the crypto market was in its like the end of its hype cycle last time, I was brought in a friend of a friend because they were on the edge of living in their choice, primarily because they, at one point during the cycle, they had like about $12 million or $10 million in value, and they were now down to $500,000. And to their perspective, the world was ending. And to like help this individual out to see like, okay, your value is beyond this. Like, one was like, get away from the screens. We convinced him to go move out to Cenote Seychelles for a while and just tap in with nature and like slow down. And eventually was like, okay, yeah, like, what was I thinking? Like, I have still resources way beyond, like, by far many, many people. Like, I don't have really a problem. It was just a perceived problem. And I've personally had, you know, to go with that too, with finding that within of at one point handing off like a bunch of Bitcoin to someone to trade at a point where I was trying to put more energy into my family before my wife and I had split up. And just through certain events, it doesn't seem like it's fully gone, but I have not gotten it back in like 4 years, and it's a very significant amount now. And it's like, wow, like how nice that would be to have that back. Where it's like the individual, like, you know, once in a while I'll get a text message, or so it's very different than like it's a really strange thing. So my question back is like, hey, all right, like what is this mystery for? Like, this is like, I've been through so many like ups and downs of the roller coaster of one. First off was like, let go of all of it. Just first be totally prepared to like, it's like, again, I will receive. So, and then it's just like the learning information along the way. Anyhow, yeah, it's a ride. I can say that high value things like the money, because of how it is perceived to make things happen in our agreement of reality, it certainly can take you for a ride.
Yeah, it certainly can. Yeah, I feel like the thread of this conversation has been, I mean, we've touched on so much, but this concept of receptivity, our ability to remember that we're receptivity machines, that we're infinite receivers, and also this concept of disattachment keeps coming up, right? Like through this story and experience that you invested this money and haven't gotten it back. I recently moved through a very similar initiation where like I had invested in these things. I was told that I could get the money back and it was always there. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'm not going to generate much. I'm just going to kind of be in my flow and create in other ways outside of the space of the concept of money. And when I needed it, they were like, it's not available right now. And I was like, okay. You know, like it was just like a forced surrender. There wasn't anything to do other than accept You know, I could like scream and kick and cry and get angry, but that just is self-inflicted suffering. Or I could just let go and remember that I'm a receptivity machine. And I'm like, okay, what can I do to generate? You know, I'm a manifesting generator. I'm like, what can I do to generate the resources that I need to get by? I don't need much. You know, we have access to everything we need, and we don't need much to have that. And so it was a super interesting initiation where I was just like, the ego was like, you got it, don't worry about it, just keep doing your thing. And then when it came to it, it's like, no, it's not there. And I was like, all right, okay, this is another level in the game. Like, how am I going to meet this challenge? And you were speaking into this, Alfina, the importance of surrender and the importance of how we respond to these things that come up in our life, right? And yeah, I'm really loving this conversation so much. Like, all of the places that we're going, all of the things that we've gone into. And
I just want to piggyback off something you just shared too before you ask a new question. Like this idea of non-attachment that you guys are both talking about, it doesn't, and Yogi also mentioned like that it can take you on a ride, like money can take you on kind of this roller coaster ride. And a philosophy I've really been intentionally anchoring in is like, how do I not have life feel like a roller coaster? Like my relationships feel like a roller coaster, my relationship with money feel like a roller coaster, my health feel like a roller coaster. And a lot of that comes to non-attachment, and not just non-attaching when we lose money or we don't have what we want, but also not attaching, overly attaching when we have a lot of money, when things are going really well. And it's really easy to get super excited. And like, that's when we like, you know, might spend a lot of money or make certain decisions that can really escalate that ride and make it go like faster. But then typically what happens is then we drop a lot deeper on the other side of that like drop of the roller coaster. So I've been really doing my best to just feel more peace around all of it, like peace and neutrality when I'm up and up, whatever that even means, and peace and neutrality when I'm down. Because when I actually look at my bank account and then when I look at my life and I feel into how I feel, nothing really has changed. Like, I'm still the same person. My mental and emotional and physical health are basically pretty much the same. And I feel like it's our reaction to our external environment that dictates the flow of money. So if we really like cling on to this fear and these scarcity stories and we go deeper into that, then we're just creating more of that fear and scarcity versus like, okay, the money's not here right now, but I know that it will come because I always receive. And I know that I can cultivate, manifest a solution. And we kind of like stay in that neutrality and that peace, then we're energetically open to receiving versus that fear that shuts us down. So that's just something I wanted to add in. And it's like, it's an art to refine. It's definitely not like a introduction newbie art. It's like a more refined, masterful art of non-attachment that I think it's something that's really important energetically when it comes to money.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. I mean, keeping your nervous system regulated through it all. And I think when we initially talk about that, we're like, oh, when I'm dysregulated, right? That's when it's important to regulate. But it's like, no, when we're receiving a lot or we just won the lotto, it's like, that's actually like a super important time to stay regulated as well too. Otherwise, we're kind of accepting these cycles of addiction. You know, the spike, whether it's high or low, is still like, it's a dramatic shift in our energy body. And I love that you brought that into the conversation. And yeah, I want to share a story came through before, and then we'll wrap up shortly so we can all make it to Crypto Club at Radio Tulum, 5 to 7 in Tulum. If you're in Tulum, hop on through. Fly on.
I'll be there in the spirit.
Yeah, please. I'll save you a seat there. And, but yeah, so I, I just moved into a new place, and before I left my old place, I decided to do a mushroom ceremony to kind of close out the chapter with that container, with that part of my life, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that came through, I think I shared this with you, Elf, but Yogi was around money. And it was one of the first kind of downloads that I got. And it was like, hey, you humans, like the more that you talk about it and the more that you stress about it, the more that you create that stress and like just stop thinking about it and stop talking about it. Like you're just perpetuating the very issues that we're trying to get you out of as we move into this next Aquarian age, into this next energetic frequency. And I thought it was interesting because from my perspective and from what you've shared, like learning more about money and knowing more about it and getting more intimate with it has like, you know, it's been this kind of this call, this catalyst to deepen my relationship with it. But the message I got from mushrooms was like, just stop. Like it's all going to shift. It's all going to dramatically change. And when you have that spaciousness of essentially, you know, no story around money, that's when something new can come in. And so, yeah, I'm curious what your thoughts are on this because it kind of contradicts what how you've moved through your relationship with money, where mushrooms are just like, don't think about it, like just stop, like you're crazy making, like you're recreating the same stories with your thoughts.
Yeah, it's one is seeing it as a game instead of something serious, because then there's the playfulness always. Like there's at least, like to go even back to what Elfina, like all
Always.
this kind of work, it's a it's momentum through our beliefs. I think we're getting a little glitchy for a second,
To
but momentum through our beliefs is how that like deep inner
this kind of
stability. Wait, are you guys hearing a breakup?
maybe Heather and I can mute our microphones. I don't know if that would help, but.
Yeah, let's try that for just a moment. Is where was I? Okay, somebody introduced where we were at because I need that thread again.
Can you hear me?
Introduce where we were at because I need that thread again.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Oh, okay, I'm back. That was so trippy. As soon as I brought in mushrooms, it just broke up and then like what started, it sounded like Smurfs for like at least 45 seconds.
Okay,
Yeah.
okay. Okay, I
Something
think we're
else.
back. I think we're back then. Is okay, perfect. The word mushrooms brought it back. Is I'm also like preparing with the momentum that, whether it's through many different channels, whether it's like Ra Uruhu, and like basically around the 2027 and open contact concept of like that more open bridge between different intelligences and or in different beings. Where there's this idea that like in a very near future, there will be no denying this. But right now there's like the woo-woos like us probably that are like, we've been talking, you know, and like, yeah, my Arcturian, lineage is, ch chiming in all the time, and that. Will they, just have, they're like, hey, you guys, we're interacting, but your money? Come on, this is silly. We don't have any need for this. That's like a nice trinket. You know, it's like a French's bracelet or something like that. Okay, sure, I'll wear it, but it doesn't mean anything.
That was the, they were like, what? This is so like minuscule and unimportant. Like, stop thinking, stop talking about it. And I was like, it's almost like the, you know, friend that keeps talking about their ex and you're like, it's over already. Like, move on, Stacey. I love you, but like, let it go. It was like that same vibe. Super comical. They were just like,
Or it's like when you want a partner and you just keep talking about how you want a partner and then that energy just repels that because
for
it's like this
sure.
needy energy.
Just
Just
like even
forget
like
about it. We already know you want it. It's a desire. It's out there. Just let it
right.
be. Well, it's like speaking it, they, you know, like you said before, we're in a feeling reality. Like it's felt, like beyond like I want this or I don't want that. It's like the universe already feels what you want.
Right. And I think it responds more, whether it's delivering it or not, on the feeling that you carry. That's why I go back to one of my deepest things I implant into myself, which I learned first, the idea, even just through like a bij mantra, a seed mantra, is like Satanam, 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 or Waheguru, Waheguru, Waheguru. It's like putting that, because the idea there, and I'd love to just comment on this for a minute, is the idea is that we have our consciousness, we have our subconsciousness, and then we have our unconsciousness. And the way I look at it is that any moment in time, maybe this can change at different times, but typically in a certain period of our life, the subconscious can be looked almost as like a container. And let's say the container is this big, right? But then at the top of our head, that the crown chakra is this 1,000-petal lotus flower. And every second, each petal is like bringing in a thought. So it's like 1,000 thoughts a second minimum. All right. And where's this information all getting, you know, handled? And the idea, one of the key things of meditation is slowing down enough to where we're not getting any more inputs, that you're only processing the inputs that are already there, and that you can look at them without attachment as they filter up, and then they can fade away. Because those thoughts each have a weight to them. Like a physical, there's a weight. That's why it's like the idea of like Atlas, you know, like holding the world on its shoulders. And but here's the thing is, if that subconscious container doesn't get emptied, just like we drink water, we got to go pee. We drink food, we go do something else. But with our thoughts, if you're not emptying that container as well, then it spills over into the unconscious. And this is where also I say that because it the things that we maybe don't want there spill over there and they become unconscious activities. But we can play with it and we can almost become consciously unconscious, which I think is one of the most dialed in things, because you chose what to put into your backup program so much so that it's working for you. Like, for instance, if you probably all of us have been driving a car long enough that you've been on like a highway that you have to like go up a ramp or whatever to get off of it. And you're driving for 10 minutes and you space out. And you're totally safe and you miss your exit. And it's like, oh, and when you realize, wow, I was driving autonomously, like really not paying direct attention. And that's because we've been doing it so much that there was space in the back bandwidth to handle that activity. And that most likely in the moment, any other thing came into your field that would interrupt what was normal, it would have brought you back in and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I got this. You know, the consciousness would have took over again. And so that's the same thing is, I feel good most of the time. I feel good most of the time. I feel good most of the time. Like I really get into how I feel this. I feel good most of the time. I say most of the time because it gives me room for when I don't, and I don't beat myself up either. It's like, just give it enough wiggle room that most of the time, oh, I'll take it, you know? And then we're back into that feeling reality that when these other things occur that are part of the play, but that's the Maya too, that sometimes you forget that we're playing and they look serious again. And then those serious feelings come in. You know, and so when those serious feelings come in, it's like, oh, it's not supposed to happen this way, right? Because literally, like, like a negative to me, and one of those emotions that are like a not feel good emotion, are there as a signal flag to tell you that you have a belief that is not true. Because if you're like, oh, whenever it rains, I don't have a good day. And you wake up and it's raining and that's happening. Is that going to dictate how your day goes now? Like that's still an ongoing choice. Like it hasn't actually come to fruition, but you're defining it before it has, because of this built up belief. You programmed yourself to accept that as, oh yeah, it's not going to be good like this. And it's just like a simple, and we have so many categories that we might put ourselves into with this. And anyhow, it's like, I want more like ultimate truth background programming in myself. And that's like my rails for like keeping cool, you know, and going, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. It's like, it rebounds me more into like, yeah, it's not that serious.
It's not that serious.
I love this analogy and what you were sharing with the lotus and the thoughts and meditation being this like almost spiritual shower, mental shower to cleanse and purify the overthinking and to also protect the purity of our subconscious, knowing that extra conscious will move into our unconscious. So to be really extra attentive to what we are thinking. And I just recently learned that the practice of meditation itself actually increases the growth of our telomeres, which our telomeres are directly responsible for our longevity, and specifically with staying and looking younger for longer. It's like there's a lot of science around telomeres right now, and because as we get older, they get shorter, they don't grow as long. And I just recently learned that meditation, just even practicing like 10 minutes of meditation a day, is a way to actually grow your telomeres naturally. So kind of bringing it back to science, connecting science and spirituality, that feels like meditation just feels like this really powerful way to keep that aura around us in our conscious field really clear, so that we can consciously co-create our unconscious, like you were saying, and keep that in a place that is in a wealthy, golden essence for everything that we want in our lives.
Yeah. So I think that's the actual latent state of our being is joy. Okay. And then everything else is just getting in the way of that. So like, even I trust that my body knows exactly what to do to keep itself healthy. But if I introduce, like, I actually even put a little bit higher, like those ideas of stress, like ultimately it's any sort of stress that's taking it, like that's merging out of that. And that a lot of that is that mental junk that is then like acting as background programming. So, and I love how you even set it back in this cleansing, in a sort. So that's beautiful. Thank you. It's a great conversation.
Yeah. So activating. And in addition to, I've been doing a work around this process of digesting information, right? Through meditation, through other practices. And I believe our ability to digest information is directly correlated to the expansion of our container and our capacity to hold more in a neutral space. And so when we practice receptivity, when we practice, we have active practices in place to digest information and sort through the junk and to clean our systems, we operate more effectively in a space of joy. And I just want to speak to a few of those other options, because, you know, I have friends in my life, family members who like have no concept of meditation, and there are other ways, or they just feel really resistant to it. And I respect that. I respect your soul's journey, but there are many ways to digest information and clear the clutter. And that can be dance, journaling, singing, movement, exercise, getting out into nature, processing information with a friend, processing something you've moved through with a friend, mirror work. And I just wanted to kind of call in some of those alternative ways that we can move the 1,000 thoughts a second that are coming through and allow our system to just come into homeostasis and say, don't need that, don't need that. Okay, this is the thought that I want to consciously co-create with. This is the one that I want to anchor in. This is the one that I want to work with. And
crystallize.
Crystallize. Crystallize.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. The word meditation can be intimidating sometimes, so.
It can, yeah.
Totally. Yeah, we can meditate and process and digest information in infinite ways. Meditation is just an incredibly science-backed, effective way of doing it, but explore, get creative.
Making love.
Making love. Yes, orgasm. Orgasm is a spectacular way to process information. Good call there, Elfie. Yeah, as we wrap this conversation, I just want to bring in just deep gratitude for everything that came through during this journey that we shared together for the last hour. And yeah, thank you, Yogi, for your devotion to love, for your devotion to transparency and clarity, for keeping your channel so clean and clear, and allowing what came through today to come through with ease and grace. And thank you, Elfina, for all of your insight and your beauty. And you have such a particular way with words, which is why I fell in love with you to begin with. We were at this ceremony yogi down on the beach at Ikal, and I heard her speak, and I was like, I will create with her. Like as soon as the words dropped from her mouth, I was like, this is my co-creatrix. Like, I'm doing it with this one. It was just a knowing. So anyway, I just wanted to express gratitude for the way that you speak and the intentionality behind it. And at this point, Yogi, I would love to open up the space for you to share what you have going on, if you have any offerings, if you have anything that you want to serve to the world and can support our listeners. Can you kindly speak into that and let everyone know how they could reach you to walk that bridge towards you?
Yes, so Tulum Crypto Club is one of them. It's an open, free forum to come pop in. Now, of course, that is it, at this. It's only traditionally been available to those who are there in person. Fortunately, this is just our second week back that I've landed back, and it is at Radio Tulum, and they have a very strong internet connection. Where in the past we've always been at the beach, and it's been shaky. That being said, we're going to be looking at, if I get a little bit dialed in with it, of perhaps like being able to throw it up on a live on Instagram or something like that. That way people can tune in from anywhere. Radio Tulum is really dialed in. I mean, they have a Function One sound system to like really great clear mics. And so I think we can accomplish this. I just have to put some energy into it. Probably after I get back from a little Colombia trip over the weekend for a friend's birthday, and we'll come back and dial that in. As far as everything else, I don't do like teaching courses or any of the kinds of these things. I continually try and get people to realize their superpower more instead of trusting in someone else's, and also knowing, reminding people that like how much where do they want to put their energy when they're creating? Because I know often like I had a dear one of Ola's close friends like came to her place fell through, so she stayed over for a night, and I was like talking about something. She's like, I should just like be trading more or whatever. I'm like, wait, wait, wait. You want to do that, or do you want to have your guitar in your hand, barefoot in the sand? She's like, "Yeah, I want that." And I'm like, "Of course you do. I already know. Like, you're gonna love the thing that you love, follow your passion, and everything else like comes into play." And so I always try to help people find out what is their level of where they want to, invest if they have capital to do that. And then find the avenues, find the things that they can do it with the appropriate amount of tension that they're willing to put into it. Because like the low level memes where people are getting the dopamine hits all the time, that's like a casino. And like you got to have that readiness, casino readiness for that.
Yeah, thank you for speaking into that. And yeah, thank you for you. Thank you for all that you do. And for sharing your embodiment with us today. And outside of the space of that, I just have to share that if you ever want to have the best dance partner of all time, like come down to Tulum and hang next to Yogi, because like, if you look at any video playback of an event in Tulum, like Yogi's up front and like that you're the most like joyful, present, energized dancer that I've ever encountered in my life. So I feel like that's also part of your medicine. Yeah.
And I would just to speak on that for a moment is when I spoke earlier about when I speak in public or even in this group, how I'm able to draw the energy, it draws it out. It's the same thing. It's the gift there as well, is I can go in and I can feel what everybody wants to be doing. And then I'm the initiator to allow that. And then at some point I can let go and be like, here, this is what you really wanted, everybody. Enjoy it. And then I can just like be in my own thing. And
truth space.
And so it's fun to use this role in various ways. And I'm interested in how it develops in other ways too.
Absolutely. It's infinite. We're expanding every second, and that's incredibly exciting. As was this conversation. Like, thank you again, both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. What a gift. What a gift this was. And thank you for all of you tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We would not be here without you. Infinitely grateful for your attention, your energy, your curiosity. Please don't miss a single second of these conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds like Yogi. You can subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to look out for Cis Society Taboo Talks. And if this resonated with you, if you feel like you've received something from this, we ask you, please, please share these important conversations. And if you're interested in joining the conversation, send us a message on our Instagram at Cis Society World, and we would be elated to add you to our private WhatsApp community where your important voice gets to be heard and we have conversations just like this. And in the interim, please stay sensual, stay curious, and remember the only thing taboo is not talking about it. We'll see you all next time.